Book of Luke, chapter 9. We'll start out there. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Help if I got there. There we go. Verse 23 says, "And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he shall gain the whole world, and lose himself or be cast away?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the freedoms we have to preach your word. Lord, I pray that you'd just speak to your people directly. May your Holy Spirit have preeminence here this morning. And you know everything that people are going through and what we will face in the future. And I pray that you'd minister us this morning and enlighten us through your word. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, real common passage there, and says, "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it," verse 24, "but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." And that, you think about that, and that's really completely contrary to what the world teaches and what the world believes. The world's biggest ambition is to save their life, is to preserve life, is to extend life, is to improve the quality of life. And it's all about life, and they go about that very diligently. They'll spend almost any amount of money to try to prolong their health and have a higher standard of living and that sort of thing. Way back hundreds of years ago, men sought for the fountain of youth, and they traveled over here. There's a place in Florida, St. Augustine, I believe it is, where they, I forgot the guy's name now, he thought he found it, of course he didn't, he's been dead for 400 years now, but what's that? That's it. I could kind of think of it, but I couldn't say it, so thank you. I couldn't pronounce it right. But men have sought that for pretty much for all eternity, how to prolong this life. And then the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it." So what is it? What is he talking about here? He doesn't mean that we just go and have a will to die or anything. He's saying we want to lose this life, the life that we know we want to lose it, for the Lord Jesus Christ. So whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So in other words, the very thing that this world is striving to attain by prolonging their life, we have it in Jesus Christ. We have life eternal. We have a higher quality of life. We have joy and peace that the world seeks after, but they fall short because they're not seeking it through the Savior. So how do we do that? How can we have the life that Christ has intended to us? How can we have that peace and joy as a Christian? How can we have life? He says that we came, they might have life and have it more abundantly. How can we do that? That's conditional. It's conditional on our reaction to the Scriptures and how we view them. Let's go back to verse 23. There's three main points here. It says, "If any man will come after me, let him, one, deny himself, two, take up his cross daily, and three, follow me." There's three things, and those three items that he said, they're dependent on each other. They're sequential. Now, there's a whole lot of people that just want to so-called follow Jesus and have never even begun to deny themselves. There's a lot of people that say they take up his cross daily because they're going through some suffering and hardship in their life, and they say, "Well, I'm bearing my cross and my burden here." That might be a result of your own stupid decisions, really. It goes back, you got to start the very first one there. It says, deny himself. Have we denied ourselves? There's a Civil War general, I believe it's General Lee, when asked by a young mother, she says, can you say something about my child? Can you give him a blessing or something? He says, "Ma'am," he says, "you need to teach that child to deny himself." And I'm really a firm believer in that. It's for children, child rearing and that. But the other thing is we need to teach to deny ourselves as Christians. And modern Christianity never teaches to deny itself. But the first thing is deny himself, to deny ourselves. That's a determination. It isn't a one trip to the altar. It isn't one time you're at camp as a 15-year-old or you get saved and you're 40 and you come forward and says, I'm going to deny myself. No, It's a daily process. It's a daily continuation. It's a determination that that is how I'm going to try to live. I know I'm going to fail, but I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to try to deny myself and put His will ahead of everything else. So that's the first thing. No, this is not going real fast. This is just a kind of a three-point introduction here, so don't get all excited. Pizza Ranch will still be open. The second thing here is take up His cross daily. It's a daily, ongoing sacrifice. It's something that every day we have to look at, and we have to take it upon ourselves daily. It's not just, I made this big commitment, this big decision, I got over this big temptation, now it's clear sailing. That's not what it is. It's a daily sacrifice in order that, three, we might follow Him. See, if we don't deny ourselves, and if we don't take up our cross daily, and we'll get into that in a little bit here, how are we supposed to follow Him? See, the Lord doesn't want fellowship with sin. So we haven't denied ourselves, we haven't changed our lives at all, and we expect to just follow like right next to Him. That's what He wants. He wants us to be close to Him. I remember when I was a kid, my brother-in-law used to take me hunting, and he was, you know, obviously younger than so was I. And we'd go through the woods, and he'd be going through the brush and stuff, and you want to stay really close to Him. And the reason is that where I grew up, there's a lot of prickly ash, and it's like these big thorns on it. And if you were about from here to the pulpit back, following Him at this distance, it's just enough for that brush to come back and wham, just get you in the face, right? But if you're real close behind Him, it goes right behind you too. That's what the Lord wants with us. He wants to stay right close next to Him in close fellowship so we can follow, so we know what He wants us to do in our lives. But in order to do that, we have to deny ourselves, because He doesn't want fellowship with that sin in our life. He doesn't want to be a half-hearted effort here. He wants us to be close to Him, right? So what is it? How can we, what is it that we need to deny in our lives? What does it mean to follow Him? Let's turn back here to Luke chapter 4, just a few pages. And we'll read through this passage, very familiar. I got reading through this and studying this and thinking through, and it really ties together here. Most of you are familiar, but we'll read it nonetheless. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And we go on and we'll read the other ones here in a little bit as we get to those points. But the first one here is a great temptation. The Lord was 40 days in the wilderness. 40 days he fasted, he had nothing. And the devil comes to him and says, Hey, you can do this. Why don't you take one and make a nice loaf of bread? You're hungry, aren't you? And he says, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What was that first temptation? That first temptation was appeal to the flesh. It was appeal to the flesh. And now as we look through this, and I'm preaching here on temptation and how to overcome it, a lot of times when we think of temptation, we think of some great, big, huge temptation, some vile sin that's going to appear to us as we walk out of church or down the street somewhere or somehow something like that, or like Christ had a direct presentation from the devil, and this monstrous sin that we overcome, that we a temptation that we must overcome. Yet that's usually not what it is. In observing people and reading through the scriptures and that over the years, it's not just one big trial. It's not just one big temptation. It's a series of small, less obvious temptations that will eventually bring you or I down to that one large sin, to that pivotal point. You see, David didn't all of a sudden one day look out on his rooftop and says, Wow, that looks like a great idea there. He'd been thinking about it. He already thought he was above, beyond reproach. He already thought that, I don't need to go out to battle. I fought my battles. We got this. I'm going to stay back this time. Let those guys fight the battles. I'm going to stay back here in the castle. Yeah, all this thought process went through long before he got to the point. It wasn't a big surprise. Wow, let's do this. No, he had thought about it. He contemplated about it. He thought it was beyond reproach, maybe because of his past successes, because he thought he was close enough, closer to God than he was. Whatever the case was, there's many things that led up to that. And likewise is in our life. It's the small things. It's the small things that we give into. And a lot of times, what I want to touch on this morning also, we think of temptation as having to avoid doing, not doing something. here's this sin, and I'm tempted to do it, and I'm going to not do it. But it goes far beyond that. The Bible says, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we're going to flip this around a little bit here. And it's not just, I'm going to say that it's a sinful temptation to do nothing. Think about that. It's a sinful temptation to do nothing. Think about, for a minute, let your mind wander for a second here. Think in your mind a couple, three things that the Lord has been on you about to do. I can think of three in my life. I would assume not the only one that I should start doing better at than I have been in the past. You know what the sinful temptation is? To sit and do nothing. Just keep going the way it is. And the devil's got just as much victory in that as if you say you give into some other temptation, most likely. And just like those sinful temptations to do nothing are one on one side of it, the other side of it is when we actually give in to temptation. But sin in the Bible is like leprosy, right? It's many, many times referred to as leprosy is a type of sin and vice versa. And I'm reading a little bit about leprosy. It's interesting. It's caused by the Mycobacterium leprae. And it's a little bacteria that causes leprosy. Imagine that. But the unique thing is that leprosy can be, you can be in contact with a leper, and it doesn't show up to 3 to 5 years later. Sometimes 20 years later. Isn't that deceitful? Isn't that a lot like sin? You know, you sow something, and all of a sudden, why am I dealing with this now? Because you sowed it a long time ago. And that's what leprosy is. It gets in there. 3 to 5 years, you go on, you know, that's crazy. I never knew that. I figured, you know, within days you get the spots or something like that, like chicken pox. I didn't know. Sometimes 20 years later, and that's why people can never quarantine it in the old days. They never knew where it came from. Because a guy could have got it 20 years previous, right? But that is just like sin. It's just like sin in our lives. So here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's tempted by the devil. And he says, a man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And again, I just want to stress to you, it's not resisting some huge temptation like the Christ did here. This is a cultivation of all of that. Read back in verse 2, it says, being tempted 40 days, tempted the devil. The whole 40 days he was tempted, and this was like the grand finale, one last shot to get the Son of God down, right? And, of course, the Lord persevered and resisted the temptation. But in our lives, it's going to be a lot of smaller ones. And just as like we have to say no to things, there's temptation to not say yes to the things that God wants us to do. He wants each one of us to change some things in our life. I know he does, and you know he does, in your own personal life. What is it? I don't know. You and the Lord know. What's it going to be? Are you going to succumb to sinful temptation to do nothing? And then you do it once, and the second time's a little easier because you get calloused and your conscience gets seared, right? Sin is deceitful. Just like sin, so are our hearts, according to Jeremiah 17:9. It says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So how can we take up our cross, like it says back in Luke there, how can we take up our cross daily? See, what Christ had to do first was he had to take up his cross daily. This was just the beginning of his ministry. He went through successfully, obviously, these three temptations, and that was just the beginning. Every single minute of every day, I'm sure the devil and his dominion, demons and that, were tempting the Lord to sin, because all it would take is one sin, just one sin. The Lord had just one sin and the whole thing would be over. We'd all be destined to a lake of fire with no sacrifice for our sins. All and continually. So what I'm getting at with that is that the Bible says to take up your cross daily. The Lord Jesus Christ had to take up his cross, so to speak, every day of his ministry, every day of his life, before he ever laid it down on that cross. If he didn't take up his cross daily and say no to sin and resist the temptation, then laying his life down on that cross would have meant nothing. It would have just been a story that happened a long time ago. But it meant something, and it takes away our sins because he died with sinlessly perfect. All right, let's move on here a little bit. He says, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. He says, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The bread was a temptation of the lust of the flesh. Same as devil tempted Eve was. He says it was good for food. You know that we always have to fight our flesh on a daily basis. Let's turn to a couple passages here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, 16. Hopefully this can be a help to you, and you can look at this and maybe it might be a help here. Galatians 5, 16 says, "For this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would." And that's a constant battle. That's normal. It's not justified that we ever give in to the flesh, but it's a constant, normal battle. And it's up to us to be prepared for it. Turn back a few pages to Romans chapter 13. Let's see here. You guys probably all beat me to it. Verse 14, Romans 13, 14. "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." It says, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The devil, all the devil was trying to tempt him with there was that loaf of bread. And he says, no, we will not do that. We will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Turn it back just a couple more pages to Romans chapter 8. The flesh and the spirit here. So we're talking about not giving into the flesh. The Lord wanted, his flesh wanted that loaf of bread. He's starving. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and health, peace." There's no greater, can you think of a greater contrast between death and life? Are there any more two opposites in this universe besides death and life? There's no middle ground. There's no gray area. There's no, well, I just think this is what is good for me in my life. No, it says to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's not anything more separate in this world than those two things than life and death. It's either we live our lives to be carnally minded or we live our lives to be spiritually minded. Now let's go back to the passage in Luke chapter 4. What the devil wants to tempt us on is just fulfilling or pleasing the flesh, making sure that we are always in our comfort zone. He always wants to tempt us by trying to just keep everything about the same. That's what, again, it goes back to the, our pleasing our flesh. Let me ask you something. Is there anything that you've done for the Lord in the last 2 weeks that's made you uncomfortable? Is there anything you've done that you basically kind of crucified the flesh, that you took up your cross, that you denied yourself, and he says, I want you to go talk to that person. I want you to hand out that tract. Is there anything you've done the last couple weeks, last week, that has made you that? That's, goes back to that, doing what we can for the Lord. Something your flesh doesn't want to, but the Lord wanted you to. Did you do it out of love and obedience to him? Did you? Let's move on here a little bit. What does he want you to do? Are we living after the flesh? Are we living after the Spirit? The Bible says to examine ourselves. You don't have to turn there, but 2 Corinthians 13, 5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Ask the Lord to examine you in this matter. Am I doing, what do you want me to do, Lord? What would you have me to do? Psalm 62, I'm sorry, 26, 2 says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." You want to save your life? Then you need to lose it for Christ. Whoever shall lose his life shall save it. James 4:17, and we've already quoted this verse here, says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." We have to avoid the sinful temptation to do nothing. I think the devil has a hold on Christians just as much with that as he does actually getting them to say yes to some sinful temptation. Think about it. Most people in here are saved, and if you're sitting here this morning and know Jesus Christ is your Savior, then what is he, what does the devil really care about? What he really cares about is making you and I useless for him. He doesn't want God to get any glory. But if we just sit back and go through our Christian life and kind of lay low and not speak up for him, not go out and do anything else for him, then it's okay. Well, that's fine. Right? And that's what he wants. He wants us to not do anything for him. What might it be that he wants you to do? I can, like I said, I can think of a few things in my life. No amount of self-justification will ever make the temptation less sinful than it was first illuminated. God put something on your heart to do, and you knew it was right, and we kind of take a step back. We try self-justifying. Oh, I don't know if I could do that. I'm kind of shy. I'm too busy. I got this going on. And it doesn't make it less sinful to disobey. Yeah, likewise, you see some sin and the devil's tempting you to do it, like the loaf of bread here, but something that appeals purely to the flesh, and you look at it and right away it's illuminated, then you try justifying it. The sin's already entered in. No amount of justification will make that sin less sinful than it was when first illuminated. But how do we overcome that? What did the Lord do? Immediately he turned to the devil and he says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth, but by every word of God." What we have to do is we have to live by every word of God. We have to live by this. You see, as soon as we start justifying it, we're not justifying it out of the scriptures. We're justifying it out of here, right? And we need to look to the word of God for it all. Overcome, we need to get into the book. We need to get into the scriptures for the wisdom, knowledge, edification, encouragement, comfort, guidance, direction, how to fight the temptations of the flesh. Memorize those verses. If you look at it and say, "I have a problem with this, this, and this," then memorize some verses about that. You see, I can't stand talking to people. It is totally out of my realm. I'd rather crawl in a hole and die than open my mouth. Then memorize some verses, right? God hath not given us a spirit, but a power, fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Memorize some verses that will help you and run them through your mind. There's power in the Word of God. That's what Jesus Christ did. He turned the devil right to the Word of God immediately. That's how the Lord overcame that temptation of the flesh. How do we save our life? How do we lose our life for Christ? How do we deny ourselves and follow him? How do we take up our cross daily? Let's look at another temptation here that the Lord went through. A great example for some other things here. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. So the devil didn't get him there. And the devil, taking him up to the high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I heard somebody say that here, the devil, it only took him a moment of time to show the Lord all that he had, and it'll take all eternity for the Lord to show us. I mean, imagine the Lord standing there, and he's just, in his mind, very shortly has come from glory, from the streets of gold, from eternal fellowship with the Father, and the beauties and glories of heaven. And the devil shows him all the things of this world. He goes, "That's it? I think I'm going to worship you for that? You know where I came from?" He probably just, in his heart, he probably just laughed, because this is worthless. Boy, we ought to think that way, huh? Look around here, and gold coins. There's streets of gold. Will I live another couple years in good health? I'm going to live forever. You want happiness? You want a fun time? I have eternal joy and peace and happiness. Get thee behind me, Satan. Let's go on for the Lord. So here he is. He's tempted. And he showed him all the... And the devil taking him up to a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, to whom I will give it." The devil was tempting him to having all the kingdoms of this world now. Maybe he tempted him a little further and says, I know that you're going to get it someday. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 11 real quick. All that will be the Lord someday. Revelation chapter 11, 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." So it's all going to become the Lord someday. But what the devil was tempting him with is to get that kingdom now. A lot of times, especially with younger people, what the devil tempts you with? He says, "Why don't you just take it right now? You don't want to wait." Maybe the devil did this to the Lord. Maybe he says, you don't have to live the next 3 or 4 years in this wicked place. This is terrible, isn't it? Aren't these people just nasty and sinful? And you're going to die for them? You don't have to do all that. Just worship me now. And I can give it to you now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait, young person. Who do those people think they are? Just have some now. You'll be all right. That's what he tries to do. See, it wasn't time yet. It wasn't the Lord's time to get the kingdom. He had to do something. He had to take up his cross daily, and he had to lay his life down on the cross for our sins, and then it was his time to get the kingdoms. But that is one temptation, a very, very strong temptation that the devil puts in front of us. It's the lust of the eyes. How did the Lord answer him? He says, verse 7, if thou wilt worship me, and all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou serve. So here it is, this temptation, it's a lust of the eyes. Basically, it's getting something. Sometimes it is getting something before it's our time to get it. Sometimes it's just getting something that doesn't belong to us and it's not ours. It's out of God's will. It says that thou shalt worship the Lord God. You know what it comes down to? It's putting him first in your life. Putting the Lord first in our lives. That's how we overcome this temptation. You know, we get looking around down here and all seems pretty important, all seems pretty nice. Pretty soon we get wrapped up in it. And we get consumed by it. And we get drawn into it. And that's not what the Lord has for us, right? There's certain things that, you know, if you know what your weakness is, then guard against them. Guard against that. But this is an example here of something that was done outside of God's timing, outside of God's provision. Go on here a little bit. How can we save our life by losing it for Christ? We need to deny ourselves, we need to take up our cross, and we need to follow him. All right, let's go on to the next one here. Verse 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in thy hands shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Just 1 second here. All right. So here's another temptation. And some call it the temptation of doubt. You look at it all different ways. Basically, it's a third temptation. And basically, it's putting God up to a foolish test in our life. He says, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up. What the devil did is very subtly, he left out, that's a quotation from Psalm 91:13. He left out in all thy ways. What should have been quoted, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and in their hands they shall bear thee up. The key there is in all thy ways. He will keep us in all his ways. Our goal, our objective in following the Lord Jesus Christ, the third part that goes back to Luke 9 there, is to follow him in all his ways. What am I getting at with that? Is that a lot of times we as Christians can go down this path, whether it's a result of sin or our own decisions or whatever it is, we're down this path and God has illuminated some things to us that he wants us to do. And, you know, we just put it aside, we put it aside. No, I don't feel like doing that. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to work more. I'm going to get some more things. Whoever dies the most toys wins or some stupid saying. Whatever it is, I want to enjoy some things. And so you get down the path. It's not his ways. The protection there, people, comes that he'll protect the Lord Jesus Christ in all thy ways. In other words, the devil wanted the Lord to jump off that pinnacle of the temple and tempt him and be his rescue project. If he's doing something stupid, well, you did something stupid, so now I got to rescue you to fulfill the scripture, I guess. You want to be that way? You want to be God's rescue project? You want to get farther down that path and keep, you know, it's a little bit of time. It takes leprosy sometimes up to 20 years to fulfill. Do you or I want to be that rescue project? where we're crying out to God, oh Lord, help me, help me. I don't know how I got in this mess. Boy, I don't know either. I wonder how you got in that mess. Now, sometimes it's things beyond your control, totally beyond anything, and things and hardships happen in our lives. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about jumping off the pinnacle of the temple here. It's not like you slipped and fell. It's not something that was unavoidable. No, the devil tempted you, and when he tempted you, you jumped, and you did something stupid. And we've all done that. But people, the key there is, in all thy ways. He'll keep thee in all thy ways. We need to purpose our lives. We need to seek the wisdom here. We need to deny ourselves. We need to take up our cross daily. See, if we don't deny ourselves, we can't possibly try to be in his ways. Because then if we don't deny ourselves, then everything goes. Eat, drink, and be merry. Who cares? I'll raise my kids the way I want to. I'll live my life the way I want to. I'll do the things I want to do. Okay. Then you can cry out to God as a rescue project. And hopefully he'll pick up the pieces. And by his grace and his mercy, he'll mend you back up. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you've made some decisions in the past. Maybe most importantly, that you've never made a decision for Jesus Christ. All that we're talking about here is in some ways a little bit irrelevant so far. See, the Lord did all this. He resisted these temptations, and he lived a perfectly sinless life. He came down to this earth and lived among us sinful men. It was an example of how we are to live, but far beyond that, he died as a perfect sacrifice for your sins. The question I have for you, have you ever had your sins forgiven? We're talking about joy and peace and happiness and serving the Lord. Do you know where you go when you die? Do you know absolutely for certain where you go when you die? You have a contract for that? Say, I have a contract for that. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John 1:12, it's right there in this eternal contract right here. And God is not a man that he should lie. What about you? What are you depending on? Are you depending on just being a good person? You're a pretty good person? As good as Jesus Christ? Could you go 40 days of fasting, being tempted the whole time, and then stand up to the most powerful, third most powerful being in the universe? Could you do that? Then you're not anywhere near Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ was perfect. He was sinless. And he has such great love. He says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You might lay your life down for a dear friend, maybe a child or something like that, but some person walking down the street that just sends something obnoxious to you and cursed at you, you're going to lay down your life for him? That's what Jesus Christ did. They're mocking him. They're cursing him. They hated him. They despised him. They nailed him to the cross. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. With thy hands I commend my spirit. That's you. That's me. See, he offers that gift for everybody. Will you going to accept it? I don't know. I've never really seen a person not receive a birthday gift or a Christmas gift. Most people take them pretty readily, even though they might not like them. Out of politeness, they'll take them. But yet, you'll sit here and turn down the most precious gift, the most costly gift, the only eternal gift there's ever been offered, and you'll turn it down? And you'll thumb your nose at God and just walk away. He says, what I have is better than what you have. Someday, I hope it won't happen. I hope you accept the Lord before then, but someday you'll bow your knee, and every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow, and confess that Jesus Christ is God. But you don't want to be that person. You want to be on the other side. You want to be on the other side, standing in glory and watching that scene from behind. But that's what he did for us people. It's a matter of trusting, putting all your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him as your Lord and Savior. But as I was getting at, maybe you're in here today, and I'm not trying to belittle anyone's trial or anything like that, and God is merciful and God is long-suffering, and if you're in the midst of some trial and something has gone on, result of your own decisions that you should have made differently, or result of someone else's sin or bad decisions, whatever the case is, you just need to cry out to God. He's the only one that can comfort you. He's the only one that can help. this room is filled with people that will pray for you and love you and try to help you, but nowhere close to what the Savior can do. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is in all points tempted like us, yet without sin. And he wants you to have the victory in whatever it is you're struggling with in your life. He wants to be a help to you. And the thing is just pray about it, confess it, and put it behind you, and go on for him. Sometimes the devil will take those things, though, that sin in our lives, and maybe we've really messed up on, and he'll just sit there, and he'll just keep, hey, you remember that? Do you remember that? You're a child of God, you remember that? He says, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm serving my Savior now. Get behind me. I'm going on for you, Lord. Lord, just put those thoughts on my mind. Put that regret on my mind. Only time, Lord, bring it to mind is if I ever think of doing something so stupid again, then remind me. But other than that, Lord, please put it behind me. So the Lord can help us out of these trials. But our goal as a Christian is, don't be jumping off the temple. Don't do things that put God to the test. And say, well, maybe we'll take that job over there, and maybe there'll be a good church there. Well, yeah, maybe. That's not a wise choice. Not a wise choice. You're just putting your God to test. You want him to make all kinds of supernatural provisions for you because you're just being dumb. That's about it. That's about it. People, that's not the way we ought to be. If we're following what the Lord has for us, let it be where we tell the Lord in a form of worship and say, Jesus answering, said to him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Let us not tempt the Lord God with the decisions we make in our lives, with the things we desire, our hopes and dreams and passions for the world. They line up with this book. They line up with what God would have for us. Or they line up what we'd have for ourselves, right? Let us not tempt the Lord with the decisions we make by the way we go about our lives. Let's go back to Luke chapter 9 there, verse 23. So the Lord just had a great example there, and it's very subtle how the devil took out in all thy ways, because that is our goal as a Christian, to try to live in God's ways and be in his perfect will, just like the Lord Jesus Christ was in the will of his Father his entire life. All right, back to Luke chapter 23. Chapter 9, verse 23. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And that's the thing we have to get over as people. We have that constant battle, this flesh against the spirit. You're not unusual. You're not weird. It's who we are. It's a constant battle that the spirit must overcome the flesh. And we have to lose our life for Christ, lose our life in this world, and devote our life to Christ. And you think about people who have done that, but denied themselves, and you think of Brother Sturch is going to be in here next Sunday night, Lord willing, and started that ministry in 1979, smuggling Bibles in. And he used to have to, it would take him 6 months to haul in, I think, 2,000 New Testaments, 6 months. And they had all kinds of elaborate schemes to get them into those countries and different things. They'd have hollow areas in the bottom of fire extinguishers. They'd have floorboards and mortar homes. They ran tours of their people that worked for them, ran tours out of West Germany to go see Prague and so on. And underneath in the tour buses, there was scriptures hidden, all sorts of things. And now we can ship whole semi-containers of scriptures over there. Ask him if it's worth it. Ask him if the almost 2 million scriptures floating around in communist countries, former communist countries, ask him if it was worth it to get to take up his cross daily and follow him. See what he'll say. Brother Mark, has been worth it? Ask the Chinese people over there that are saved, and they have a new home in heaven because of somebody selling out and doing what God put on their heart. Ask them if it's worth it. Ask them. What about us? Are we willing to deny ourselves, first off? Are we ready to determine in our heart that I'm going to try to deny myself more than I have in the past? You all have tried, otherwise you wouldn't be sitting here this morning. But will we try harder? Will we try harder in the weeks and years ahead? You know, new year coming up, new resolution. No, I'm just kidding. But will we try harder? Will we take up that cross daily? Will we not be discouraged that it's not just, whoa, made it through that one. Oh, we got it now. No, no. It's taking up the cross daily. You know, I can imagine, it's hard enough carrying a big timber, especially a green tree of timber, but imagine there's no good way to carry a cross. You know, how are you going to do it? You're going to, you know, have the long pole and have a piece here and a piece here, and now you kind of balance it so that the big part's in front, it's all floppy. You're going to put it so it's horizontal, the cross is horizontal, then it's tippy. There's not a good way to carry it. It's not easy. It's not like putting a pack on your back and walking down the street with 100 pounds. It's hard. It's hard to physically carry a cross. It's very hard to spiritually pick up your cross daily. But don't be discouraged with that. Don't be discouraged. Don't let the devil discourage you or I by this. Take up our cross daily. Realize that's a constant struggle. Realize that in the end, God is going to get the victory, and we want to be on his side. Lastly, here, it says, follow me. And people, I don't know about you, I don't want to wander aimlessly down this world, picking and choosing, doing this and doing that. I don't want to be wind the clock forward 20 years from now, and I'm sitting here looking like, man, why did I do that? Why did I mess that up for? Why is everything such a mess? Why is this all happening to me, God? Why? And then you realize it was because of me and my stupid decisions and myself not following. Oh, I thought I was following. I could see him off in the distance there. Ah, there's the Lord's up there somewhere. We got it all right. I'll follow him at a distance because I'm not really denying myself. Because I'm not really to take up that cross daily. Not being like I was as a little kid behind my brother-in-law. I could see his brown coat right behind me, his camouflage coat, right? Because I don't want that prickly ash to get all over my face. We need to be close to the Lord. We need to follow him like that. Bible says that, let's look a little further here. Back to Luke there, says, after resisting temptation, he returned in power and spirit. And that's what we need. We need the power, we need the spirit. And that power in the spirit comes from resisting the temptation. So I just want to challenge you today with that. I want to maybe help you with some things there through some temptations or trials. Maybe look at temptations a little bit differently. Sometimes you might first started, maybe you thought of this big temptation. Well, I'm not going to get into this, but it's not a big temptation. It's a bunch of small ones. It's as small as the Lord putting something on your heart, and you think, I don't feel like doing that. You know, it's a temptation of just not knowing what God has you do and just resisting that. It's not always just saying no to something. It's just as equal as tempting to just not do anything and sit back and do nothing. So just a few things there, and just pray that we could all follow the Lord closer, that we could all take up his cross daily and follow him, and that we can just pray for one another, help one another, and that the Lord would find us victorious in the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning.